We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
As promised, we have bonus material from the first decade of the new millennium on this edition of the Ziggy Cast.
This is the BGSU Ziggy Cast from Learfield, your home for Falcons updates, interviews, previews, and highlights. Now, here is your host, Todd Walker.
Great to have you with us. My name is Todd Walker as we continue to look back to the first decade of the 2000s, working our way up to the 100th anniversary of BGSU football coming up. The celebration will be October 12th for the Toledo game. And this will be our third Ziggy Cast dealing with the 2000s. And of course, there's the corresponding article at BGSUFalcons.com. And when that got posted, our good friend Teddy Pipko said, man, they wrote that big article about all the great things, but hardly any talk about defense. And I told Teddy P on social media that on the Ziggy Cast, we don't discriminate against the defense. Of course, we had Mitch Hewitt on our first Ziggy Cast dealing with the 2000s. That was episode 28, along with Cal Bowers and John Gibson and Josh Harris and Cole Magner and Mark Miller and Coach Brandon. Then our bonus episode over the weekend was quarterback Tyler Sheehan. Hope you enjoyed those. But now, you better strap it on tight because we're all about defense on this edition of the Ziggy Cast. And we're going to start with our main man, Teddy Pipko. We're joined by former BG linebacker Teddy Pipko on the Falcon flashback segment. Teddy, good to catch up with you.
So happy to be here. Really appreciate you having me on.
I always like to visit with the guys and revisit, quote-unquote, your first moment as a Falcon. Talk to me about being recruited. I believe Coach Urban Meyer was still the head coach when you got recruited, right?
That is correct. My first time on campus was a junior day. There was a guy sitting underneath a tree, and we struck up a conversation, and he really gave me the confidence that I could belong and I could perform at that level. So I was still a little bit unsure of myself going into that day, and I ended up having a great day and ran well, and that person was Josh Harris. Gave me the confidence, and the relationship started a little bit. And I think the winning atmosphere that Coach Meyer had brought to the program was already permeating through the program. And I could just tell there was something special that was going on, and I wanted to be a part of it.
Talk with former BG linebacker Teddy Pipko as we reflect with Falcon Flashback. 2002 season started out at 8-0 before things kind of tailed off at the end, including a loss to Toledo. And then, of course, the tumultuous time with the coaching change. Teddy, I'd like to get your for reflections on Coach Meyer deciding to leave and then the decision to hire Greg Brandon. What do you remember about those days?
It was a tough feeling because we knew that we left something out there going into that that tough UT game that we had up at the Glass Bowl, and had him on the ropes early. At that time, not a lot of teams in the conference were going to bowl games. And even though we had a great season and only three losses, that we were not eligible for a bowl game. And in the off season, I think it was a week, maybe two, before the end of the first semester, we found out that Coach Meyer was leaving. And I think at the time, at least I was as a freshman and not been able to spend a ton of time with him. You're a little shocked and you're young and immature and you're not really sure how to feel. As it turns out, it was just a tremendous decision for him and his career. And I'm so proud that I was a part of Bowling Green when he was there. And I think that with Coach Brandon, a lot of us returning underclassmen had a lot of conversations with Paul Krebs, our athletic director at the time. We were very firm that Coach Brandon was the leader that we wanted to go forward and to lead our team. And I think that the success that we had immediately following with Coach Brandon and things remaining consistent and it was tough at first, but things remained constant, and then we continued to have a whole heck of a lot of fun and win a lot of football after that.
Teddy Pipko's with us on Falcon Flashback. When you look at that 2003 season, the upset win at Purdue, of course, the near upset at Ohio State, the game day game with Northern Illinois, make it to the MAC championship game, lose to Big Ben, but win the bowl game over Northwestern. I mean, 2003, that was like a tsunami of big games.
Oh, Todd, as you're talking, I literally have every hair on the back of my neck standing up just thinking about some of those memories, and here we are 13 years later, and I still get chills thinking about it. I think of Purdue when we went in there on the road. It was their home opener. We had one game under my belt. It was my second career start after I was filling in for Javon Burks. Again, great friend, mentor. We went in knowing that we were going to win. We didn't flinch, and we made enough plays at the end of the game to steal that one from them. I just remember like the celebration and being able to see Coach Beckman when he came down from the box and chest bumping Mitch Hewitt after he broke up that play to steal the victory. It's pretty incredible feeling. I mean, definitely a top moment, not only at Bowling Green, but in my lifetime.
And then later in the year, of course, a game that to this day is the only game that the ESPN Game Day show came to town when you played Northern Illinois. And you really whipped them that day. That has to rank high on your list as well.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. The team walk that Coach Meyer started and that we continued there, it was pretty special, where we got off the bus to walk into the stadium and thousands and thousands of fans so hyped up and jacked up after Corso and Herb Street and the crew. Corso put on the Freddie Falcon headgear and picked us to win, and the atmosphere at the Deut was just electric. I remember, you know, getting ready before the game and the students were leaning over the railing and it was already filled all the way up and they had the thunder sticks and were just going absolutely insane, and there was no way that an atmosphere like that we weren't going to put on a show. It was all BG.
Teddy Pipko's our guest on the Falcon Flashback. 2003, his first year as a starter. As a sophomore, the Falcons end up losing to Miami in the championship game in the Mid-American Conference, but then the Motor City Bowl. So the year before, you guys got jobbed in a bowl game, but 2003, you got to go to a bowl game. Did you have a little bit of a chip on your shoulder?
Oh, I think so. I think for us, the best thing about that bowl game in 03 was we were able to send our seniors out as winners. Being able to have an opportunity to play a Big Ten team in an NFL stadium with a great crowd, and we made that trip. It was just an opportunity for us to send the seniors out on the right note, and we did. Had a ton of fun, and I think of my position group, my great friend Mitch Hewitt, and being able to send him out as a winner with his last game. That's a pretty special moment for me, and I'm sure for all those seniors in 03, it's something that they hold on to.
Well, in 2004, you guys opened the season in Norman, Oklahoma. You did not beat the second-ranked Sooners. You had a new quarterback, and it became apparent there was a new sheriff in town with Omar Jacobs. I'm wondering how you remember that game.
Playing in that atmosphere was intense. It was electric. The fans were hostile, but they weren't combative, I guess I would say. But I remember going into that game with Omar, and Omar and I are in the same class. And I looked at it; it was Omar's coming out party, and the world had no idea who Omar Jacobs was. But at the end of that Saturday, by the time those primetime games started, a lot of people were talking about the first time starting quarterback that torched the Oklahoma Sooners for 300 yards in the air and really had the number two team stressing late in the fourth quarter. I remember I told them right before the game started, right, and we ended up queuing it for the remaining 2 years. I just told them that I believed in them, and I don't think I knew how confident Omar really was in himself and his ability. He's a pretty quiet guy, but he believed in himself too, and I think that showed by the career that he had.
Now, that 04 season later, we would lose at Northern Illinois, so a bit of a tough start losing two of your first three, but then you go on a big winning streak, and it really was capped off with the home win against Marshall. You sent them out of the MAC with a thumping, and I guess you had a big role in that game, didn't you?
Yeah, the Marshall game, that was really the message. The seniors of 04, TJ Carswell, Cole Magner, James Hawkins, those guys, they went to Marshall on the road as true freshmen, and were on the other end of a pretty good whooping. The dialogue and the talk track with us was Marshall thought that they were too good for the MAC. They're changing conferences. We have one last shot at them, and we really took it to them on that day. I remember it was late in the year, if my memory is correct, and I'm quite certain that it was in the second half that I stepped in front of an out route and took a pick back, not quite to the house, and you can't run into one of my teammates on a weekend like this, and I'm sure I'll be hearing it. where they're razzing me pretty good because I think I might have made it to like the 7 or the 6 yard line, and then I was tackled. There's rumors that it was an offensive lineman, but I'll have you know it was their starting tailback that made the tackle. It was definitely not an offensive lineman.
Shotgun for Gopner, 3 minutes to go now. Back to pass, he throws, it is intercepted. Teddy Pipko at the Marshall 26, down the far sideline. Teddy, ball game! Bradshaw knocks him out at the 15-yard line. Oh, I thought Teddy P was going to get to the house. Good hustle by Bradshaw. Put it in the books. BG going to send Marshall out of the league with a loss.
I want to put up 63 on him. I mean, let's send him out with a big L.
Yeah, it's almost worse to be caught short like that than to never have an interception.
Todd, if you ever have a chance to interview PJ Pope, You have to let him tell the story, and everything that he says is completely fabricated. Him retelling the story every time we get together, it never fails. And but just thinking and laughing about it, it's a great memory. Wish I would have took it all the way to the house, but it came up just short.
2004 season, unfortunately, the loss at Toledo was a bummer. But again, you guys were able to get a bowl game to salve the pain, and you took advantage going to the GMAC Bowl and land one on Memphis. That was a good time as well.
Having that experience and going from playing in Detroit, being able to completely switch things up and go to Mobile, they really just rolled out the red carpet too, really took care of us, really felt welcomed into the community and the culture and drinking sweet tea and visiting the naval base. It was a really, really tremendous experience leading up to the game. And then having the opportunity to compete at a really high level against some a really special talent, the guys that are still playing on Sunday, like D'Angelo Williams, was a really special privilege. And again, that opportunity where things didn't go our way the last game of the regular season, but being able to send our seniors out, I mean, in that class, I mean, my gosh, you name some of the guys like Javon Burke, Scotty Murzkowski, Cole Magner, to name a few. I mean, there's just a really special group of friends for me and teammates and really, really special group of football players.
2005 then, Teddy, your senior year, and this program had become accustomed to winning 8 wins, 9 wins, 11 wins, and then 9 wins. And 2005 looked like it was going to be another very good year, but the Western Michigan game when Omar got hurt, that really changed the whole tenor of the season, didn't it?
It really did. It was a funny year in general. I mean, we looked at the schedule and we were thinking that there's not a game on the schedule that we can't win. I mean, we were looking at we could be the BCS busters. When we had a ton of confidence, a lot of guys back, and from the get go, even from training camp, we had guys that had been playing a lot of football. Guys like PJ Pope that were dinged up. I had a very rough training camp. The Wisconsin game did not go our way. We lit up the scoreboard, but we couldn't make a tackle. Going out to Boise State and that tremendous atmosphere, things were goofy on the flight out there. just a lot of challenges. And as you said, Todd, the Western game was really when the wheels fell off, where we beat a team 50-0 the year before at home, and then they came back at our place, and things were going according to plan. Omar got hurt, fumble returned for a touchdown, and from there the floodgates opened, and the next couple games were tough after that. Things were really different on our side of the ball. If you remember, we lost our longtime defensive coordinator, Tim Beckman, and we had another individual come in, so I think that there was a little bit of a cultural shock and disconnect on understanding the new system. And at the end of the day, guys got to make plays, and we just didn't make enough of them. But it was a tough road to hoe there into the Western game for sure.
Teddy Pipko is our guest on the Falcon Flashback, and your senior year didn't go as well as you would have hoped. The double overtime loss to Toledo ended the season in excruciating fashion, and a 6-5 record left you guys at home, and I'm sure somewhat a bittersweet ending to your career. But as we've just recounted, you had a bunch of fun, didn't you?
Oh, Todd, there's no doubt that the UT game at home, the double overtime, keeping us out of the MAC Division Championship, that one stings, and it still does all these years after the fact. But there's no doubt that the opportunity to play for the Orange and Brown and to represent our university is one of the greatest honors that I've ever had in my life. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. And I'd still remain very involved with not only our athletics department, but also on the academic side and the College of Business. And I couldn't be more proud of the time and the experience. And I don't think that being a Bowling Green football player doesn't define who I am today, but there's no doubt about it. Without that experience, I wouldn't be the same.
That's Teddy Pipko, our first defensive flashback, if you will, here on the Ziggy Cast. And as I said, we're going to stay on the defensive side of the ball. Right now, we're going to replay my Falcon flashback with one of Teddy's teammates, defensive lineman Mike Thaller. We're speaking with a former Falcon two-time captain. It is Mike Thaller. Mike, good to catch up with you.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, let's start, I guess, at the beginning of your Bowling Green career. Let's talk about when you were recruited as a prepster out of Cincinnati LaSalle High School. Talk about your recruitment to Bowling Green, and you played at BG from 2002 to 2005, so you were one of the first to be recruited under the Urban Meyer leadership, right?
I was. Actually, it was kind of funny. Didn't have a whole lot of exposure to Bowling Green. Had met Coach Meyer when he was at Notre Dame, and had met him on a junior day when I was junior in high school, and he got the job. And I guess a couple weeks later, I got a call out of class, and there was Urban Meyer sitting at in my high school, and I took a visit about a week later and committed. So I didn't really have a whole lot of interest in Bowling Green prior to that, and as soon as Coach Meyer came on, he kind of put the whole thing together and put it to bed pretty quickly.
So when you decided to come on board, they had not yet had their breakout season, is that right?
They had not. So actually, when they came in the year prior, Bowling Green, I believe, was about 2-9, 3-8, something like that. And the year prior. But, you know, honestly, with Coach Meyer, he was such a passionate individual that the prior year, you know, record didn't really matter. It was all about looking forward. So didn't take a whole lot of stock into the decision.
Now, were you one of those guys that you were recruited to the position you actually ended up playing on the D-line, or were you one of these guys that used to be a linebacker or something else?
No, it's kind of a funny story. I was a D lineman in college or in high school. Came to Bowling Green, actually played O line my freshman year. Kind of walked up a little bit, put on some weight, and then went over to the O line. And then after my freshman year, Coach Meyer said, "Hey, look, you got a decision. You can either play O line or D line. It's your decision." I chose to go back to D line, and never really regretted it. Always enjoyed playing defense.
Falcon Flashback, we're talking with two-time former Falcon captain and defensive lineman Mike Thaller. Take me through the next big event for you, which was obviously Coach Meyer leaving after your freshman year and Coach Brandon taking over. Kind of relive some of the anxiety or whatever you want to share about that time.
You know, it's one of those things. It's you know, as a kind of naive kid still, you know, having kind of, you know, been there two seasons, but still not having a whole lot of exposure to kind of, you don't want to say the business side of things, but, you know, we heard the news reports that there was allegations Coach Meyer may be leaving, and we got a call shortly after the news report that we had a team meeting the next morning, and that was about it. Coach Meyer announced it the next morning and left. And, you know, you come to, you know, it kind of, it's a new experience for you when you're young and you still get that level of innocence to you. But then you kind of look back at it and you say, well, that's kind of how it's always done. I mean, he gave us the respect of calling us together, telling us he was leaving, telling us he really appreciated us. I think everybody truly believed he did. And, you know, looking back on it now, it's a different experience at the time, but it's, kind of falls in line with what you see nowadays, and actually is probably a little bit better of a departing than what you see sometimes. So it was an eye opening experience though.
Mike Thaler's our guest on the Falcon flashback. So then Coach Brandon takes over not too long later, and as I recall, that was a player, I don't want to say engineered decision, but the players really came out in support of elevating Coach Brandon, right?
They really did. I mean, you know, we felt like, you know, over 2 years, Coach Meyer came in and really started building the foundation to something great. And we felt like we really wanted to keep somebody in-house and to take over the helm, you know, to keep that train going. And so, yeah, it was very much a player-driven campaign to put somebody in place that was going to continue to lead the ship. And, you know, Coach Brandon was the natural pick for that. And so I think everybody was, you know, very happy with that decision, and, you know, two bowl game victories later, I think it was the right decision for the program at the time.
We're talking with Mike Thaler on Falcon Flashback. Mike, before we relive some of that glory, talk about your first year at BG then in 2001 as Coach Meyer came in, and you were, the fresh-faced recruits, but he really had to do some work with the upperclassmen, and most notably the seniors, if he was going to have a successful season. And I know that was a stressful time for those guys that had spent their whole career playing for Coach Blackney. What do you remember about those formative days, especially with the older guys?
You know, it was one of those things. It's funny because you take a team that's 2-8 1 year, and you basically take the same group of guys. There's a couple of freshmen that played, but you take that same group of guys and you turn them into an 8-3 team over a winter. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, it was a lot of pressure, a lot of change going on with attitudes and mentalities, and believing that truly we had a great team and that we could be good. And so, you know, for a freshman like myself coming in, I mean, that's a totally new experience. You got somebody so passionate like Coach Meyer and knows what needs to be done. And I think sometimes not everybody had the vision that he had or could see it, but, you know, he did a fantastic job of getting those seniors to buy in, and basically everybody else just, you know, hold on to their coattails and see where this is going to take us, because, you know, you really have got either, you know, the mentality was set. You either got a choice to grab on and to believe, or, you know, get out of Dodge. So it was definitely a eye-opening experience. It was a lot of early mornings, a lot of weights lifted, a lot of gas was run, a lot of time in that indoor facility, kind of changing the culture of the team. But it would never change a second of it.
Mike Thaler's our guest on the Falcon Flashback, and Mike, let's move to the first game of your senior season, because that's exactly where the Falcons find themselves today. That is Camp Randall Stadium, taking on the Wisconsin Badgers. And for those that were there, such as you and I, we remember an absolute wild affair that was back and forth all day long, and Wisconsin finally prevailed 56-42. And I'm sure going into that game, you guys were more than confident that you could slug it out with them.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely knew we could. I think, you know, from the years prior, playing some of the teams that we did, you know, we took Ohio State to the edge the year after their national championship. And so we always knew that we could be competitive with teams. It was, and so going into that was no different. We knew that, hey, look at the Big Ten. They're big. They've got a reputation. Wisconsin runs the ball. There's, you know, big corn fed guys up on the O-line, and we gotta do our job. But, we always felt like we could be competitive and we could plug it out with them.
You know, Mike, being a defensive player during an era when Bowling Green fans really remember the offense and the huge numbers that it put up at times, especially in 2004. Do you feel like maybe the defense got a little short shrift?
I think sometimes when we relive moments with guys that we used to play with, I think we still get short shrift. It's one of those things where we had such a prolific offense. At that time, I mean, it was unbelievable what was going on in the offense that Coach Meyer put in and Coach Brandon, really helped run. I mean, it was amazing to see. So, I think obviously, we were hesitant to admit it as a defensive unit at the time, but hats off to the offense because they kept us in a lot of games. And, obviously still, looking back as a defensive guy, wish we would have, but I would have kind of held our own in some of those positions. You get games like that with Wisconsin where it's 56-42, and so the offense could always really slug it out with teams. And we always gave it our best, but unfortunately sometimes it kind of came up short.
Mike Thaller is our guest here on the Falcon Flashback. Mike, as you think back through your playing career, in the Mid-American Conference games in particular, I'm sure there are a few that stand out, but I got to believe that Northern Illinois, the home game in 2003, tops the list.
That was absolutely an amazing experience. I mean, I can remember like it was yesterday. You've got the whole game day experience. You've got, that Herb Street and Lee Corso are out there, early in the morning, and you've got the crowd and everything. And I remember that first series specifically when we came out on defense and they were trying to establish the run with Michael Turner. And he actually slipped to the outside, ran it probably 70-some yards, and ended up getting called for a hold. And from that moment on, they didn't really get much as an offense. And so we had those jitters. We got it out of the way. No major damage. And then after that, it was just an amazing experience to come out there. I think, we were 18th or 16th in the country. They were number 12 in the BCS. I mean, it was an electrifying experience that night.
Mike Thaller is with us on our Falcon Flashback in that 2003 season, the first under Coach Brandon. He had the big win at Purdue. Of course, that was kind of the signature win along with the Northern Illinois win. And then you go to the bowl game after playing in the MAC championship game. The Red Hawks defeated the Falcons, but you got a chance to play in a bowl game, the Motor City Bowl, as it was known then, in Detroit against Northwestern. You end up winning it 28-24. Any great memories from that particular game?
I remember the last couple of series of that game, and for some reason, Mitch Hewitt really comes to mind. When the last couple of series, we as a defense, we went out there, and we just knew that our offense had done their job. I believe that Josh Harris had led the team, the offense down the field to put us ahead. And we just knew that there was no way that these guys we were going to give up points. It was a known thing from the defense. And we went out there and we stopped them for a couple of series and that was it. And so, I mean, I remember that specifically that when our offense went up, there was no way as a defensive unit. The offense had taken care of us for so many times throughout the year that there was no way we were going to let Northwestern come back and score. So I really remember the end of that game pretty vividly.
And Keon Newsom with a huge sack late in that game to end that particular drive, and then Bowling Green would end up running out the clock. Mike Thaller is our guest here on the Falcon Flashback. Mike, your junior year, 2004, really was a transitional time because Josh Harris had graduated and Omar Jacobs was moving in as the quarterback. And I think maybe that year the defense might have posted better numbers overall, but really the emergence of Omar right at the beginning of the season had you guys thinking that you could reach the same level you had in 03.
Certainly. I mean, it was we didn't know what we were getting into when we went to Oklahoma. We went and played in Norman that first game of the year, and I think after we come out of that game and we see what we've got in Omar Jacobs and just how cool and collective he was and the offensive player, I mean, we knew coming out of that, hey, we just slugged it out with Oklahoma. We can slug it out with anybody. And so we really felt confident, in 2004 that we were, you know, that we could really, that really the sky was the limit for us as far as the MAC was concerned and you know, where we could go as a team.
Now that season, the regular season ended with a disappointing loss to Toledo that cost you guys a chance at the MAC championship. But unlike a couple of teams in the Urban Meyer days, you were able to garner a bowl bid, the GMAC Bowl. First of all, you remember the interim there between the Toledo game and the bowl bid. Take me through what you guys were thinking that maybe you would not get another game.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you know, prior to that, it was, I remember when my brother played at Miami of Ohio back in 2000, 2001, and all that went was the MAC champion, and that was it, and that kind of changed a couple of years later. And you know, we had such a great opportunity to go out there and beat Toledo you know, get that bowl bid. And I'll tell you what, playing those guys at the Glass Bowl, they always had our number whenever, for the years I was there. And so, you know, you kind of expect that you have this wishful thinking that you're going to get a bowl bid, but you really, in the back of your mind, you think, man, the two teams from the MAC are going to go, and that's about it. But, man, when they came through with a bowl bid for us, and, you know, we knew we had one more shot, and so it's, you know, might as well take advantage of it and go out there and forget the Toledo game. Unfortunately, it was disappointing, but we had one more shot, and we took advantage of it.
Yeah, beat Memphis 52-35 in what was then known as the GMAC Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. That day, the offense put on quite a show, but what do you remember from playing in that game from your perspective on the defensive line?
I remember, I still kind of chuckle every time I see him on TV, D'Angelo Williams, who was the running back for Memphis at that time and is now being down here in Charlotte. He's one of our running backs here for the Panthers. And so I remember D'Angelo Williams specifically, and it was a tough battle between our defense and really him, you know, you know, I knew they couldn't, or, you know, we saw that they couldn't really move the ball much passing it, but he was such a strong runner. And so, kind of mid second quarter, or, you know, early third, he went out you know, we kind of just kept on pounding them and pounding on him. And if we could shut him down, then we could take this game. And so it eventually happened you know, we took the victory.
Talk about being a two-time captain at BGSU. You were obviously held in high regard by your teammates and by the fans of Bowling Green football. That has to be an honor that sticks with you.
It definitely does. I mean, it's an honor for, you know, for 100 other guys in the room to vote you and hold you as, you know, as a respected individual that, you know, you're one of the few guys that's going to lead this team. So it was a great experience. You know, I still hold on to that, and it's one that I've always valued, and it's one that I've kind of tried to carry into my life going forward. And, you know, there's a few opportunities where you get to lead a team, you know, once you kind of get out of college athletics, but you can always take those lessons learned. And I think, you know, one of the biggest things is that you realize that you've got people from all different backgrounds and all different cultures, and, you know, you kind of can bring them together for a common goal. And so I try to bring that into my life, you know, today, and you know, knowing that no matter what you're doing, you're always dealing with people from different perspectives and different backgrounds. So it was a great experience, you know, I really cherish the opportunity to do so.
That was Mike Thaller, former BG defensive tackle. We continue on this edition of the Ziggy Cast on the defensive side of the ball as we hear from Kerry Campbell. We welcome Kerry Campbell to our program. Kerry, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Todd?
Hey, doing real good, man. You, of course, were a captain on that team, the first one under Coach Urban Meyer, and many times we've been regaled by some of the players that were part of that transition. As you look back on the going from Coach Blackney to Coach Meyer, what kind of stands out to you as turning the corner, or what was the time it told you that things were going to be turned around quickly?
I think it was probably the first day, you know, we met him, you know, in which and how we met him. I think, you know, it was a clean slate. He was a new sheriff in town, and, you know, basically everyone that was on scholarship, you know, you know, you kind of had to earn your right, you know, and he made us earn our right. You know, we had to become accountable, and you know, it was just a fresh, clean slate. And you know, if you're up for the task, you know, you got a, you know, opportunity again to show you what you can do.
Well, you look at how that season played out, and the defense certainly was a strong unit, pitched a couple of shutouts, also held Kent State to just 7 points, and that season-opening win at Missouri, you hold them to 13 points. I guess really after that game, everybody had to feel like anything was possible, right?
Yes. I think we adopted, why not us, why not now, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think, you know, we were kind of, you know, sizing ourselves up a little bit against, you know, some of the bigger teams and the bigger, you know, conferences, and, you know, we just kind of believe in ourselves. I think it really changed, you know, the culture. You know, Coach Blackman, he's a great coach. He's had, you know, great assistants, Spagnolo, Ligashevsky, you know, they became professional coaches. Ferraro, you know, he's a professional coach. They had good guys on the staff, you know. That's pretty much why, you know, I kind of chose to go to Bowling Green, just because of the environment and the coaches. But, you know, be able to have a fresh start, you know, kind of a energetic, younger coach coming in with a lot that he wanted to get accomplished, we were up for the challenge on defense, and I think it, you know, kind of resonated throughout the team.
We're speaking with Kerry Campbell here on our Falcon Flashback. BG hosting Kent State today, and that 2001 season was such a pivotal one in Bowling Green history. Talk about your defensive unit that you were a captain of. Remember some of your compatriots on that side of the ball?
Yeah, I do. It was we had a good squatty body guy by the name of Brandon Hicks, and we had the Galantes brothers, and Gary Fisher was there. He's coaching football now. Chris Hanline, I believe. Mitch. We had Chad Long, I want to say, Sergio Blunn, Carl Rose, Ryan Wingrove. Can't forget about Winnie. I think just had a bunch of solid guys all the way around.
Yeah.
Offense challenges, you know, in practice, and you know, we had good competition.
No doubt about it. You know, you brought up Hicks, and that's also another thing. With many people are concurring that this year's wrecking ball is Chris Jones, and that maybe we haven't had one since Brandon Hicks that has been that effective. What do you remember about him?
What I remember about Brandon is that he found a way to get in the backfield and get those, you know, negative tackle for losses, you know what I mean, which, you know, first down, you know, if this guy's getting in the backfield to tackle for a 2-yard loss, and, you know, the second and long, it allowed, you know, myself to really kind of just run, you know, go make plays, you know, recognize, run, pass, and, you know, it was fun. It was fun, you know, playing, you know, behind a guy like Brandon. Plus he was going, you know, he good hard worker, strong guy. And I think, you know, everything that he did and the awards that he got and the opportunities he got after that season, he deserved.
Kerry Campbell's with us on the Falcon Flashback. We're looking back to his days at BGSU, and, you know, the 2001 season didn't end with a bowl bid for BG like it would if they were nowadays with an 8-win season, but you did finish out the season with the kind of a bowl game, a home game against Toledo, and you really whipped up on them, and I can imagine that was a pretty good feeling as your final game as a Falcon walking off the field that day.
Yeah, that was fun. I enjoyed that. That was the last time, you know, I went to school, Sylvania Southview, which is right outside of Toledo, and I enjoyed it, along with everybody else, and you know, the support that we had from the student body and the community, you know, it was a blast. You know, always ingrained, great memories ingrained in me at Bowling Green.
We're not done on this edition of the Ziggy Cast. We transition from Kerry Campbell to Gary Fisher.
Yeah, I did. I actually had a great start. My senior year, Coach Meyer came in 2001 and took over the program. And really inspired me, and he actually led me into coaching, and I actually started there at Bowling Green as a student assistant, and followed him shortly thereafter and went out to University of Utah with him.
When you look back to your days at Bowling Green, you, like our radio guy John Gibson and several other guys we've talked to over the years, were part of the fateful senior class of 2001 that really had your world turned upside down in late 2000 when they announced who the new coach was going to be. Take me through your emotions, first of all, personally, when Coach Blackney announced he was going to step down, your thoughts when that happened?
It was a very tough transition. You know, we all really enjoyed playing for Coach Blackney and thought he was a great guy. We knew there were several things that he had going on personally with his family at the time. And, you know, we were struggling as a football program. And for him to step down at the time was kind of difficult because it was in the middle of the season after a tough loss to Buffalo. And, you know, kind of the season kind of just dragged out. You know, those last seven games kind of dragged out, not knowing who was going to lead the program the following year. But, you know, once it was over and we actually Coach Meyer was called to the helm, we were very excited about him coming to the program. And it actually turned out to be a great turnaround.
No question about it, Gary. I can't imagine you were all that excited, though, on that day when he locked the doors at the fieldhouse and set out garbage cans and you guys ran for hours. How did you handle Black Monday or Tuesday, whatever day of the week it was?
Well, it's actually Black Wednesday.
Wednesday, there we go.
Yeah, it's actually Black Wednesday. But I tell you what, he from the day he walked in the door, he challenged the seniors to take hold of the program and the lead. And we felt, I think it was a opportunity for us to really bond and pull together as a senior class because we wanted to be there and we wanted to be successful. And we knew that day was really a challenge to us more than the players around us. So it was a day that we really bonded and pulled together and pulled some young guys with us and found out who was going to go through the tough times with us.
Yeah, you know, I think that 2001 season really showed what a difference the I don't know if it's the effort level or the degree of concentration or whatever. You guys went from just a pretty bad team in 2000 to a real good team in 2001 with much of the same guys, didn't you?
Yeah, and I think it was just a mindset of going out and knowing what it takes to win and having the will to do what was needed to go out and win, execute the plan that Coach Meyer had in place. And, you know, every guy in that senior class wanted to be successful. They came to Bowling Green to be successful. And you know, it was just some hard times where the leadership, you know, was up and down at times. But Coach Meyer gave us an opportunity to really bond together. And I'm just telling you, that group of guys, I'll never forget that group of guys with Kurt Gerland and John Gibson and Kerry Campbell, you know, Alex Galanis, Brandon Hicks. A bunch of guys that really came together and, you know, wanted to show what Falcon football was all about.
Gary, were you able to get back in town last week? Were you part of that gathering with Gibby over there?
Yeah, it was exciting, man. It was exciting. It was a bunch of guys came back, you know, from guys around my class. You know, Josh Harris was around, and, you know, we had some guys even back in the early classes of, you know, 94 all the way back up to 84. So, it was a great time to bond and get to meet some Falcons that we didn't know as well. But, you know, we're all big Falcon family, and it was a great turnout. Great turnout.
Gary Fisher is with us, former Falcon linebacker, a class of 2002, I guess you'd say, of graduating from Bowling Green. 2001 was his last football season. And you were able to turn football into to another degree as well, weren't you, at Utah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. I actually went out there and I was actually able to get my master's degree in exercise and sports science, so being a graduate assistant out there. And it was probably one of the, I mean, it was a traditional, a historic year for the University of Utah. We went undefeated that season, went 12-0, was actually the first non-BCS team to break into the BCS bowl game and beat Pittsburgh 35-7 in the Fiesta Bowl. And also had an opportunity to be around a number one draft pick, and Alex Smith on that team as well.
No question about it. Gary, when you look back to your senior year 2001, was there a point while you were still playing in that season that you thought this coaching gig might be for you?
Coach Meyer did a lot of closed-door meetings, and he would often pull the seniors to the side and One thing I'll never forget about Coach Meyer is that first year that he came back to Bowling Green, he actually stayed in the dorm during our camp. And I spent a couple of nights with him just up in the lobby, you know, talking about the coaching profession and talking about the opportunities that coaching presented. And, you know, not just the wins and losses, but the opportunity to develop young man and have an opportunity to change their life and lead them in the right direction. And that's really what inspired me to get into coaching, because the coaches that that came into my life actually helped me along the way, and I thought it was a way that I can give back.
You know, it's often said that you remember the final game you played maybe more than any other, and I'll bet for you that really sticks out, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's the part of the game you never get back. We had a deal at Bowling Green at the time called the Big Stick, and that was all what it was all about, was being violent on defense and being physical. And, again, that's just the Falcon deal, man. You come to Bowling Green to play defense, you better have that mentality to be a physical, fast, hard-hitting football player, and that's the part once you get done playing this game that you never can get back.
And that win over Toledo was a dominating victory and quite a capper for your career.
Couldn't go out on a better note. Could not go out on a better note, beating that team up north at our home field our senior year in the fashion that we were able to beat them. I believe that score was 56-21, and they had some really good football players, and, you know, couldn't go out in better fashion.
And we round out our defensive tour of the first decade of the new millennium, checking in with Eric Dozier. Eric Dozier joins us for our Falcon flashback. He was a Falcon from 2005 through 2008 out of Akron Garfield High School and was a three-year starter for BG and linebacker, and of course many great memories during his time in Orange and Brown. Eric, welcome back to the Falcon Sports Radio Network.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, first of all, the Falcons are set to open the season against Tennessee. And I think you might remember your first game very well. It was a similar situation. You guys opened against Wisconsin in 2005 in Madison. What do you remember about that day?
It was extremely loud, extremely hot, and it was Big Ten football, every essence of it, versus, you know, a MAC school that came in there, you know, to get some things done. All the nerves, as soon as I was on kickoff team, and as soon as the whistle blows, all that is a blur. You know, once you get that first contact, you know, everything else after that is, you know, autopilot. Prior to that, you know, very nervous, definitely an experience to remember.
Eric Dozier is our guest on Falcon Flashback. He was a linebacker from 2005 through 2008. That day at Wisconsin was one of the wildest shootouts ever. I think it was tied at 42 at halftime. You guys had to be a little bit wore out at halftime of that game, weren't you?
We were in great condition. Our strength conditioning coach, he made sure that he knew it was going to be high. He knew that what we would be up against with two high-powered offenses, and he knew defense would be getting a lot of short breaks, and we'll be rolling through a lot of people. So we were prepared condition-wise.
Eric, that 2005 season was going pretty well until a home game against Western Michigan when Omar Jacobs went down with an injury, and that day against Western Michigan, the Falcons were run out of the Doit by the Broncos. I don't know that I've ever seen a team as deflated by an injury to a player as I saw that day. Tell us what you remember about that.
Well, I remember it being 6-0, and we had the ball, and our quarterback was going down there leading the charge, and, of course, he gets injured. You know, like I said, it was deflating. It was demoralizing, and we weren't prepared for it. He never got touched. We weren't used to him being touched. So when he did get that weird injury, we just weren't prepared for it.
The team did eventually bounce back, and Omar did come back. And last game of the season, you're hosting Toledo, a chance to win the division, play in the MAC championship game, and a real heartbreaking overtime loss to the Rockets. That was a very tough way to end the season, wasn't it?
It was. You know, our expectations were to win the MAC and go to the championship and compete at a high level, and we did for the most part. And it was just a bad break. Like you said, I do believe it went double overtime. It was one of those plays that you prepare for and you see it happening in slow motion, and it just didn't turn in our favor.
Yeah, it was a double overtime loss, and that ended the Falcons season at 6-5. And between 05 and 06, a lot of change as Omar Jacobs decided he would leave early. The Falcons started the next year with a also, like this team, a neutral site game at an NFL stadium against a Power 5 team. You played Wisconsin again at Cleveland Browns Stadium. I'm sure you don't remember it that fondly since the team lost, but what do you remember about playing at Browns Stadium?
That was the first time I've been in an NFL stadium on the field. And, you know, it was an exciting, electrifying arena. And we competed pretty tough, but like you said, those are the days that you choose not to remember. Mm-hmm. But you do remember the plays and the camaraderie and how it brought the team together even after those tough losses.
Yeah, and of course, you being from Akron, maybe playing at Brown Stadium held a little bit more of a special aura for you. Were you a Browns fan at all?
Well, not by nature. I think by default, because everybody in my family is a Browns fan. I'm actually a Cowboys fan. My favorite player was Emmitt Smith, so my first number as a Pee Wee football player was 22. I wasn't by choice, if you could say, but absolutely. All we got up here in Northeast Ohio was Browns football, and that's all that mattered.
We're talking with Arik Dozier on our Falcon flashback, and that 2006 season did not go well the last part of the season, especially. The Falcons lost their last five games, three in a row on the road, and they lost to Toledo, ended the year at 4-8. So the 2007 season was one that started with one of the more memorable wins of recent Bowling Green history, the overtime win at Minnesota. And I'm sure you remember a lot of things about that particular day, Arik Dozier, and you were on the sideline hoping they would convert that two-pointer to win. Do you remember that feeling?
Absolutely. I remember the call like it was yesterday. We've defended that play against our offense in every virtual way you could possibly defend it. And our offense, and they knew exactly what they were going to give us and how to convert. So. At that point, it was just, okay, let's just make sure we execute, make sure there's no offside, make sure there's no holding penalties. We're on the road. We're in a hostile environment, and, you know, everything is up against you. And so when Freddie Barnes made that catch in the corner of the end zone, I was just making sure one foot was in. And as soon as we got the go-ahead from the officials for the touchdown, for the conversion, you know, everybody went wild.
It was a great day to be a Falcon as BG opened that 07 season with that 32-31 overtime win over Minnesota. The team looked good heading into the MAC season, but lost two out of three, and really the season was hanging in the balance. You guys were 4-4, and you know, getting a bowl bid or anything like that appeared to be maybe not within your reach, but you won three in a row and then got to play Toledo, and with a bowl berth on the line, you throttled the Rockets. That had to be one of the biggest highlights of your career, isn't it?
Oh, man, we had fun that game. We were over-prepared. We were focused. And we knew what we was up against. We knew what we had on the line. We hadn't been in a bowl game for, you know, the previous two seasons. We had a great game plan. They had a tough running game. They had a pretty good, you know, all-around team. And so our focus was stop the run, and we win. And that's what we went in there, and that's what we accomplished.
Arik Dozier is with us on our Falcon flashback. Your senior year was 2008, and it turned out to be a transformative year for BGSU football in that it was the final year for Coach Greg Brandon, and things would change with a new coach. But you would not have thought that on week one, would you, after the win at Pitt? You guys went in there and beat a team that ended up with, I believe, 9 wins on the season and was ranked at the time. Take me back to Heinz Field, another NFL stadium for you. Third year in a row you guys had played at an NFL facility, if you count the Metrodome. One of the best overall games Bowling Green played during your 4 years, I think.
Oh, yeah, we played a pretty complete game. We gave up some big plays, but settled the nerves, and you're able to think clearly and execute. And so that was our big thing, is make sure we executed our plays, we knew our assignments, and – you know, we weren't going to be outworked. That was the bottom line.
Do you feel, can you remember back to that? It seemed like Pitt maybe overlooked the Falcons a little bit, maybe a little overconfident in that game. Did you sense that day?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they came on the field with their pregame warm-ups, and, you know, they had some pretty stellar running backs, but we were just as talented. We felt, you know, matching up with those guys. So at that point, it came down who was going to outwork who. and who wanted it more. And I just believe that we outworked them, and I believe we wanted it more.
Falcons won that first game of 08, 27-17. Then the bottom line is that that season ended up getting away from you, and it was announced soon after the season that Coach Brandon wouldn't be back. I know you would have loved to end your career on a much brighter note. A little bit bittersweet to look back on that time period, I would imagine, for you.
Oh, yeah. You know, I still keep in contact with those coaches to this day. You know, my grad assistant as a freshman is now the head coach over at the Rockets. You know, I wish he would have been a little bit different. He could have been the head coach down there at Bowling Green and kind of keep the family tradition rolling there. But it happens. But more especially, you know, you always remember those relationships you built during that time. You don't get it closer to any group of men than spending 5 years of your life, because I got redshirted. So I spent 5 years of my life with pretty much the same core group of people. A lot of the coaches that came through there, most of them stayed. And the ones that didn't, you're still in great contact with.
Arik, before we let you go, who are some of the guys you played with that you remain closest with now?
The guys I remain closest with are definitely my roommates. I have some characters. In fact, I was just in one of my roommates' wedding. His name is Dan Macon. He played running back and specialties, and he did a lot of things for Bowling Green in his time there. Dyrell Briggs was another one of my roommates. You know, that went on to win a Super Bowl with, you know, the Packers. So he gets to rub it in my face a little bit every time we meet, and he gets to show that big Super Bowl ring. And of course, Nate Waldron, which is another one of my best friends. You know, that's now in Pittsburgh. We still have that rivalry. We go back and forth about Pennsylvania and Ohio, who has the best football. Those are just a few of the guys. And, of course, homecoming, everyone comes back. It's a great time, you know. I missed the Sharpie shootout this year. Kind of sad about it. I went and got me some golf clubs. I thought I would have been prepared. But I look forward to seeing everybody at homecoming.
And sure was great to go down memory lane with some defensive stalwarts of the first decade of this new millennium here on the Ziggy Cast. Big thanks to Teddy Pipko, also to Arik Dozier, who we just heard from there, and Kerry Campbell, and Gary Fisher, and also Mike Thaller. We will be back with another bonus edition of the Ziggy Cast from the 2000s tomorrow. So stay tuned. Until then, this is Todd Walker saying, I Ziggy Zumba.
Thanks for listening to the BGSU Ziggy Cast. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review however you listen. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.